Halleluja. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glory to God forever. Let's pray. Let's just pray in the spirit for the next few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Mando Corita Sombaitondo Cora Daba Catora Andi. Rigobos Paranando, Kirako Sondi Gregurandi Escura Andaragadoska. Mango Radege Sonde Brendora Catisco. Mangora tashkota brandi. Thank you. Karanando soparigatora ando kobalande. I karando oskobratiri etushka barandi. Mando go som de pregira ando. Gilando borondo oskobrekira katongo. Rande esco pratiki cus catabrandi ila domnos col radigina nana cum sabalata. Le cum sabaradi cora atogus parigata tondo o parita manzulati. Mon caranando sum de gibrando. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah to the Lord. I'm just excited today. It's always a joy to fellowship my brothers and my sisters, and to talk about prayer. And this is the fifth session, I believe, the fifth or the sixth session we're having now on the prayer life of Jesus. I'd like you to do me a favor very quickly. Let me know if you can hear me. And this is a live audio, and live audios receive very low reach. To increase my reach, I would need to do a live video, but for some reasons, I don't want to do that. So I stay with the live audio. But I want to encourage you to always comment, always leave comments. Your comments would actually influence the algorithm. And then more people on this page would see the post and join and get blessed. All right. So always leave a comment. If you can share the post, that would be beautiful. But always comment. Just repeat the words I say in the comment section. It will also help those who are coming to catch up with what we have, you know, covered. So let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we thank you for the riches of the Spirit of Christ, which you have lavishly given to us. We have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son. And with this confidence, we behold in your word Christ Jesus. We see a perfect understanding of you in him and a complete understanding of who we are. The riches of your Son pour forth in our hearts, and our thoughts and our conduct are aligned with this reality. We declare that under this atmosphere, confusion is banished. Contradictions are banished. Ignorance is banished. Truth reigns to the praise of your glory. And we rejoice in the fellowship of knowing you. Amen. Amen. All right. The prayer life of Jesus. The prayer life of Jesus. The prayer life of Jesus. We began this series from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16. I'm going to do my best to ensure that I don't stay longer than 1 hour today, and we can continue some other time. This should be about the fifth session or the sixth session now. So 1 Timothy 3 from verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great are the hidden things about God, the hidden things about the way of God. And we understand that this mystery of godliness is God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up into glory. And we said that the God that was manifest in the flesh is Jesus. So Jesus was manifest in the flesh. Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh. Is God become man. And we said that God becoming man reveals to us man as God intended. God becoming man reveals to us man as God intended. So in the humanity of Jesus, we see man as God intended. So Jesus is God as man revealing God to man. Jesus is God as man revealing God to man. At the same time, Jesus is God as man revealing man as God intended. So in the revelation of Christ, we get a perfect understanding of God. And in the revelation of Christ, we get a perfect understanding of man. Okay, so Jesus is God as man revealing God to man, and Jesus is God as man revealing man as God intended. So when we said, we discussed that when we see God in the form of man walking in love, we know that man as God intended is a creature that walks in love. And when we see God in the form of man walking in power, we know and understand that man as God intended is a creature of power. When we see God in the form of man, you know, praying, we also understand that man as God intended is a praying being. And we said that Jesus was sinless, yet he prayed. That means prayer was not necessitated by sin. God did not invent prayer because of the reality of sin. So sinlessness, therefore, will not preclude prayer. Okay, we said that Jesus had power, yet continued in prayer. That means I must not treat prayer as the goal. I must not treat power as the goal of prayer, even though prayer does make power available. We said that Jesus was perfectly righteous and holy, yet he prayed. So we emphasize that righteousness and holiness would not stop man from praying. It will give man confidence in prayer. You're righteous and holy is not an excuse not to pray. Okay, so we said Jesus, God in the form of man, shaped history by prayer. He did everything by prayer. So when history comes into the hands of praying men, history will look like the will of God. And then we talked about the reasons why we're studying the prayer life of Jesus. We emphasized that we're studying his prayer life because he's our Savior and he's our Lord. That's in Luke 2:11. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. John 4:42, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Acts 5:31, quickly, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So we're studying the prayer life of Jesus because he is our Savior. Okay? He is the birthplace of the new man. We were born of God because of him, because of his work. We're studying the prayer life of Jesus because he was also man, just like us. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 14, I believe down to 18. Hebrews 2 from verse 14 down to 18. There is no rush, so it's better we just recap. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 15, quickly. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So he is man. Jesus is man. And in that humanity is our model, is our prototype, is our example. 1 Peter 2 from verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. What did Christ leave us? An example that we should follow his steps. Colossians 3 from verse 12 to 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. 1 John 3 from verse 15. 1 John 3, 15 to 16. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So the disposition, the slants, the attitude of the new man is inherited from Christ. So my disposition, my slant, my attitude towards others flows out of Christ's disposition towards me. That means I inherit my way of life. I inherit my conduct from Christ's conduct. Write it down. I inherit my conduct from Christ's conduct. I inherit my way of life from the way of life of Christ. My activities are found in his activities. My activities are found in his activities. So when we see him praying, we inherit that prayer life as our prayer life. Because he is our prototype, he is the prototokos, he is the example of the new man, he is the model of the new man. So the prayer life of Jesus essentially is the prayer life of the new man. The prayer life of Jesus is the prayer life of the new man. And we also said that we study the prayer life of Jesus because we are his disciples. A disciple is a student, is a pupil, is someone who learns. Is someone who watches and learns. He learns by precepts and he learns by example. He learns by precepts and he learns by example. And we said that in discipleship, assumption is not permitted. Precise followership is key. In discipleship, assumption is not permitted. Precise followership is key. And we understand that Jesus taught about prayer. So the disciples heard Jesus teach prayer. Jesus did not only teach about prayer, he prayed. The disciples saw Jesus pray. Now, Jesus did not only teach about prayer and pray, he also instructed his disciples to pray. So the disciples, in following Jesus, discovered that they had a responsibility to pray. In the scriptures, we hear Jesus teach prayer. We see him praying. We also discover that we have a responsibility to pray. And not just pray, but pray as he prayed, because his prayer life is our prayer life. So Jesus was God in the flesh, yet prayed. That means prayer is what God did as man. Prayer is what God did as man, showing us that is what man ought to do. Prayer is what God did as man, showing us that is what man ought to do. Prayer was the default posture of God as man. God became man and his default posture was prayer. God became man and his default posture was prayer. God became man and his default posture was prayer. So the new man has a default posture. That posture is prayer. So we learn to pray in the prayer life of Jesus. And we said that, you know, the A to Z of the life of Jesus was prayer. Before he was born, prayer was made. We discussed about that. When he was born, prayer was made. When he was being baptized, he prayed. Before he began ministry, he prayed. Throughout his ministry, he prayed. Before he chose his disciples or his apostles, he prayed. Before he went to the cross, he prayed. On the cross, while hanging on the cross, he prayed. Before he died, he prayed. David foreseen his descent into Hades, you know, in Psalm 16, verse 10, and the apostles preaching in Acts chapter 2, 27, 31, Acts 13, 35, they will show you that Jesus while in hell, while in Hades, as that is the way of those who die. He prayed. So he prayed himself into the resurrection. So man, as God intended, A to Z of his life is prayer. Okay, A to Z of his life is prayer. Now, we've covered so many things for the past few days now. If you've not been following, I encourage you to go back and follow and listen again. It would help you. We're talking about the traits of the praying man. And we talked about prayer being the priority of Jesus. And then we talked about Jesus persevering in prayer. Jesus persevering in prayer. And we've been on this for about 3 days now. Jesus persevering in prayer. Jesus persevering in prayer. And we read Luke chapter 6. We're about to begin, but I'm still making that, you know, that recap. Luke chapter 6 from verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Who continued all night in prayer to God? Jesus continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus continued all night in prayer to God. He had a custom where he prayed all night, all night, all night. He continued. And we said that the Father always heard Jesus pray. Yet Jesus prayed for long hours, even though the Father always heard him pray. So it's therefore very obvious that Jesus did not pray for long hours for God to hear him. Extended hours of prayer was for his own benefit, not the Father's benefit. So the new man has a prototype, and in that prototype, he continues in prayer. The new man has a prototype. In that prototype, he continues in prayer. Howbeit, he does not continue in prayer so God can hear him. He continues in prayer knowing God already hears him. So it's obvious that since Jesus did not pray for long hours for God to hear him, the new man does not pray for long hours for God to hear him. But the new man also prays for long hours. He prays for long hours for his own benefit, not for the Father's benefit. He prays for long hours for his own benefit, not for the Father's benefit. Jesus, for example, did not pray for long hours to impress the Father. He prayed long hours for the Father's will to be impressed upon his mind, upon his will, upon his imagination, upon his intellect, upon his memory. And we discussed that when we extend our time in prayer, we are employing our souls to enjoy God. When we extend our time in prayer, we're employing our souls to enjoy God. When we extend our time in prayer, we are participating in a kind of rest and refreshing. And this may look like labor because of the passion we exude from it, but that labor is a refreshment. And we said that there is something extended hours of prayer does to the man who prays. There is something extended hours of prayer does to the man who prays. Because prayer is teaching your soul to be settled in the riches, in the resources, in the wisdom, in the power of the Spirit over anything else. I'll say that again. Prayer is teaching your soul to be settled in the riches, in the resources, in the wisdom, in the power of the Spirit over anything else. So my mind, my will, my emotions, they reap the reward of my prayers when I linger in prayers. My mind, my will, my emotions will reap the reward of my prayer when I linger in prayers. This prayer changes me. I do not pray to change the mind of God. I pray to change my mind. I do not pray to change the mind of God. I pray to change my mind. Prayer does not change God. It changes the praying man. The more I linger in prayers, the more I'm changed. And we said our minds are charged when we stay in the place of prayer. Our emotions are spiritually charged. Our will becomes the spiritual valve by which spiritual realities are practiced and expressed. And we also said that prayer enhances our love work. Prayer enhances, it aids our love work. We said that when we linger in prayers, we reason about our brothers and our sisters in Christ along the lines of God's will for them. I tend to be more selfless towards those I consider in prayers. I tend to release the love from within me more when I pray for people. So prayer, therefore, will enhance my relationship with others. How do you know a praying man? His relationship with other people is enhanced, is rich, is thick, is full of love. Okay? And we also say that prayer makes me a champion of God's cause. We read Colossians 4:12, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. And we said that prayer makes us better evangelists. We are in a better position to communicate God's love when we linger in prayers. We said that if you linger in prayers, it would rescue you from being an entitled Christian in your local church. This is not 5 minutes prayer. This is not 2 minutes prayer. This is not 2 seconds prayer. This is staying in prayer, continuing all night in prayer. And since the prayer life of Jesus is a prayer life, and Jesus spent all night praying, you have no option but to have seasons where you spend time praying. That is your nature. The nature of the new man has a tendency not just to pray, but to linger in prayers. To linger in prayers. I encourage you to please listen to the first parts of this meeting that we've had for about 4 or 5 days now. Please listen to those parts. I want to continue from where we stopped last time. Last time we said that prayer will deepen our spiritual convictions and will develop godly persuasions as we stay in prayer. We also said that, it will enhance our spiritual perceptions. That's from Acts 9, from verse 9 to 12, 10 from verse 2 to 4 and 30, Acts 10 from verse 9 to 10, Acts 22 from verse 17 to 18. Please listen to those previous sessions again. They would help you. Now, let's begin today's session. We're still talking about the effects of lingering in prayer, staying in the place of prayer, staying for hours and hours and hours in the place of prayer. Write this down very quickly, please. Write this down. Prayer employs all the virtues in the spirit to use. Prayer employs all the virtues in the spirit to use. Write it down, please. Prayer employs all the virtues in the spirit to use. That means I lay hold of the riches lodged in my spirit when I linger in prayers. I lay hold of the riches lodged in my spirit when I linger in prayers. So prayer is a means by which I spread the riches in my spirit to my mind. Prayer is like a supply system by which I transfer or spread or distribute the riches lodged in my spirit, which is the spirit of Christ, to my soul, to my mind, to my will, to my emotions. So I reap the benefits of the spirit for my emotions. I reap the benefits of the spirit for my will. I reap the benefits of the spirit for my mind. I reap the benefit of the spirit for my intellect, okay? Prayer is the means by which wisdom and revelation saturates my mind. Prayer is the means by which wisdom and revelation, it's the means by which wisdom and revelation saturates my mind, heightening my intelligence in glorious realities in Christ my Savior. Now, Jesus is my Savior. In that salvation, there are riches. There are glorious realities. In that spirit that he gave to me at salvation, there are glorious riches and realities. Prayer aids my mind to understand these things and partake of it in a way that is very beneficial. Okay? Paul did not only teach the Ephesian church, he prayed for them. He prayed for them that they may understand, that they may have the wisdom which the Spirit has. Now, he didn't just teach them. He didn't just teach them. He prayed. So prayer accompanies that riches that you have. Prayer accompanies that reality. You know, prayer helps your mind to know the things that you already have. Okay, so you can pray your mind. You can pray your mind into vulnerability to the intelligence of the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. You can pray your mind to become more vulnerable to the intelligence of the Spirit. Is that making sense to you? You can pray your mind to be more vulnerable to the intelligence of the Spirit. as you linger in prayers. This is not 5 minutes prayer, like I said before. It's not 2 minutes prayer. It's staying there. There's something about staying there. The more I stay in that place of prayer, especially praying in the Spirit, my mind becomes more vulnerable to the intelligence of the Spirit. My mind becomes more vulnerable to the intelligence of the Spirit. Now, listen, you cannot automatically pray your mind into knowledge, but you can aid your mind to know with prayers. Okay? You need the Word of God to know the things that have been freely given to you. However, prayer aids your mind to know. So, as I linger in prayers, the Spirit which I have that already knows helps my mind to know what He knows. Does that make sense? The new man has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ within him. The new man is one spirit with God. That spirit that he has already knows the things of God. That spirit that he has already knows. He's not trying to know. The spirit that you have is not trying to know. The spirit that you have already knows. However, your mind does not know what the spirit knows. Your mind is trying to know. So when you linger in prayers upon hearing the word of God, the spirit that knows helps your mind to know what he knows. So my mind begins to be aware of what the spirit knows. Does that make sense to you? My mind begins to be aware of what the spirit knows when I pray. So for the mind to be open to heavenly brilliance, the heavenly brilliance, the glory in the face of Christ, someone has got to be praying. Someone has got to be praying. Someone has got to be praying. My mind grows fonder with the brilliance of Christ, with the glory in the face of Christ as I linger in prayers. Now, there are many believers whose minds are hostile to spiritual things. Very hostile. They hear the word of God and the first default response is rebellion to that word. Their minds are hostile to the brilliance of heaven, hostile to the face of Christ, hostile to the doctrine of Christ, hostile to the things of the Spirit. These guys are not prayer people. When I pray, my mind grows fonder with the brilliance of Christ, with the glory in the face of Christ. So that being said, I can employ the virtues lodged in the Spirit to use. As I linger in prayers, I can employ the virtues lodged in the Spirit to use as I linger in prayers. I can unleash an onslaught of the endless flow of virtues from the Spirit of Christ to my mind, to my will, to my emotions as I linger in prayers. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Let me know. Put it down. I can unleash an onslaught of the endless flow of virtues from the Spirit of Christ to my mind, to my will, to my emotions as I linger in prayers. I can pray my mind into practical wisdom. James was saying, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all men and upbraids not. So I can pray my mind into wisdom, practical wisdom. I can allow the health of God's love to seize my emotions as I stay in prayers. Oh, write that down, please. I can allow the health of God's love to seize my affections as I stay in prayers. 1 hour, 2 hours, praying in the Spirit. 3 hours, praying in the Spirit. The health of the love of God will seize my affections. So when I pray, I am praying in the light of all that I have because of what Christ has done. Okay? I am praying. And my prayer is walking in the Spirit. I am walking in my nature when I linger in prayers. I am cruising in the blessedness of salvation when I linger in prayers. I am walking in my nature. That means I am walking in the Spirit. The believer is in the Spirit because he began from the Spirit. He's a new man. As he lingers in prayer, he is walking in a way that is consistent with that reality. He is walking in the Spirit. He is walking in his nature when he lingers in prayer. So when I am walking in the Spirit in the place of prayer, love becomes evident. Peace is evident. You know, joy is evident. Meekness is evident. Perseverance is evident. These are the things that are a part of my natural habitat as the new man, aka the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. These are the things that are evident. This is your nature. So I walk in the light of my nature as I linger in prayer. I am walking in my nature. And in that nature is love, joy, peace, patience, you know, kindness, humility, self-control, you know, and all of that. I am walking in the light of that. So the more I give myself to praying, is the more these things become evident through me, evident in my thoughts, evident in my words, evident in my actions, evident in my desires. This is why we spend time praying. It doesn't happen by default. It is not to move God. Like we said, when you're praying for things, I don't expect you to pray more than 5 minutes when you're praying for things. However, when it has to do with the prayer of supplication, prayer for people, prayer that involves man, it cannot be 5 minutes. It cannot be. Jesus spent all night, at least 12 hours, regularly in prayers. In prayers. It's the way we cruise in the Spirit. It's the way we cruise in the blessedness of salvation. Galatians chapter 5. You know, it says something, you know, in verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." To walk in the Spirit is to walk in your nature. It's to walk in your nature, because the Spirit of Christ is the nature of the new man. Okay? So when I walk in the Spirit, I am walking in my nature. Now, it is that nature, that nature has a default posture. That default posture is prayer. That Spirit of Christ has a default posture. That default posture is prayer. When I am given to prayer, I am consistent with my nature. When I persevere in prayer, I am only being consistent with my nature. In my nature is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. So when I am praying and I am giving myself to extended hours of prayer, the more I do these things, the more the things that are consistent with my nature sees every part of me, my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my desire. Does this make sense to you? This is why we pray. This is why we pray. As I continue in prayers, I am continuing in the things natural to my habitat. Okay, as I continue in prayers, I am continuing in the things that are natural to my habitat. So prayers, staying longer in prayers, praying in the Spirit for extended hours will change my desires. It will change my words. It will change my actions. Because I employ all the virtues in the Spirit to use. I lay hold of the riches lodged in my spirit when I linger in prayers. Are we still following? Are you getting blessed today? Let me know. Can you still hear me? Are you still here? Let's move to the next point. Prayer, spending time in prayer, helps me not to yield to sorrow. Prayer helps me not to yield to sorrow. I am more unlikely to yield to temptations when I give myself in prayer, when I give myself to prayer. I am more unlikely to yield to temptations when I give myself to prayer. I am more unlikely to yield to temptations when I give myself to prayer. Listen, brothers, sin is emotional. Sin is emotional. Sin is emotional. Let's look at the Bible a bit, okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 22 from verse 39 to 44. Luke chapter 22 from verse 39 to 44. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 36 to 46. So let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're there, you can post it on the chat. Luke chapter 22. Okay. Luke chapter 22. I'm just trying to get my Bible ready. If you're not there, say, wait for me. From verse 39, like we said, Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. His disciples also followed him. Verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Wait a minute. He didn't tell them. He didn't tell them, watch TV that you enter not into temptation. He didn't tell them, watch me that you enter not into temptation. He didn't tell them, learn about prayer that you enter not into temptation. He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. So if I pray, or if they pray in response to what he said to them, what will happen? What will be the default result? They will not enter into temptations. Listen, prayer will not stop you from being tempted. But prayer would make you less susceptible, less vulnerable to temptations. Okay? In verse 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. Now, after telling them to pray, he went to pray, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. He found them sleeping for what? Sorrow. And said unto them, while sleep ye, rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, Jesus was going to die. He had told them he was going to die. They were all sorrowful that he was going to die. Now, who was more sorrowful, Jesus or his disciples? The person that was going to die, or the person that heard that he was going to die? Of course, the person that was going to die. Of course, the person that was going, he was more sorrowful than them, because he was going to be made sin. He was going to be separated from the Father. He was going to go to the grave. He was going to go down to Hades, to hell. So he was more sorrowful. What would have been temptation for him? To forsake that assignment, to forsake that ministry, to forsake you and I. That would have been temptation to Jesus. How would he have been, you know, how would he have succumbed to that temptation? By giving in to sorrow. So what did he do? Instead, he kept himself from being vulnerable to temptations by keeping himself in prayer. So he processed the sorrow in the place of prayer. What did the disciples do? They were sorrowful. Their hearts were heavy. They were sorrowful. Their hearts were heavy. And they went to sleep. Sorrow will take you to sleep. And then, as you sleep, you become more susceptible, more vulnerable to temptations. Like I said, prayer will not stop you from being tempted, or you will be tempted. But prayer will make you less susceptible to temptations. Temptations, man becomes more vulnerable to temptations when he yields to sorrow. And in this world, you would have tribulation. You would have things that will make you sad. You would have things that would almost make you in despair, almost throw you, you know, into despair. For example, you go and preach and they have you arrested and they put you in jail. Or you go and preach and you lose your job. Or you lose your job because you're a Christian. You will be sorrowful. No more salary. You would have to depend on the other saints to keep you in that time of waiting. You will almost be sorrowful. Listen, there are times in your life sorrow will come to overwhelm your emotions. And when your emotions are overwhelmed, you become more vulnerable to temptations. More vulnerable to temptations. I was talking with someone today who was telling me, who messaged me, and she was like, why am I serving God? You know, why am I his child? You know, what makes one ask that question? Sorrow. Sorrow. Matthew 26 from verse 36, the same story. Matthew 26, 36, the same story. Sorrow will make believers to be at the brink where almost anything goes. Almost anything goes. I'm telling you, you and I would experience this. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. Who was being sorrowful here? Jesus. And very heavy. Who was being heavy here? Jesus. Verse 38. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. 39. And he went little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Like we said the last time, this was not just what he prayed. This was a summary of what he prayed. He spent at least 1 hour praying this prayer. Okay? He spent at least 1 hour praying this prayer. Verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? So he had spent 1 hour. He had spent 1 hour praying. Now he was sorrowful. His heart was heavy. Yet he spent at least 1 hour first praying. And when he had said that, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh weak. Verse 42, he went again the second time and prayed, saying the same thing. He went again the second time and prayed. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And then he left them and went again and prayed the third time. So at least 3 hours. Saying the same words. At least 3 hours. At least 3 hours. What was his admonition to them? Pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Prayer would help me not to yield to sorrow. Prayer would help me not to yield to temptations. Now, let me tell you some things about sorrow. Write it down, please. Sorrow, if left to have his way, can twist our view of reality. Sorrow, if left to have his way, can twist our view of reality. Listen, it can affect how we interpret God's will. Sorrow, if left to have his way, can twist our view of reality. It can affect how we interpret God's will. Listen, you can know a lot. You can know about new creation realities. And something bad hits you. If you are not giving to prayers, you are likely to almost misinterpret God's will. You are susceptible to temptations in your work of ministry. And that temptation, most likely, is not temptation to watch pornography. It is temptation to misinterpret God. Listen, they had seen wonders. They had seen miracles. Peter, James, and John had seen wonders. They had seen the dead raised, the blind see, the deaf hear. But when the push came to shove, they denied Jesus. Why? Sorrow, pain. Prayer will boost your threshold, your capacity to endure pain. And every man of God, every woman of God needs this. Some people become atheists automatically when things don't go well for them. You lose your job, you become an atheist. Or your relationship spoils, you become an atheist. You start to view God as one sadistic being. You are yielding to temptation. You are yielding to temptation. You better be careful and give yourself to prayer now. Otherwise, head knowledge may not be able to keep you when the push comes to shove. That's the first fact about sorrow. Number two, sorrow, if left to have his way, can taint our understanding of God's character. If you leave yourself to sorrow, you begin to be sorrowful. Sorrowful about your marital status, sorrowful about your academic status, sorrowful about your financial status, sorrowful about persecutions. If you leave yourself to that, it will taint your understanding of God's character. John the Baptist became so sorrowful that he sent them to ask. He was rethinking again. Are you the one or should we wait for another? This is a prophet. So why do we spend hours and hours and hours in prayer? When we spend time in prayers, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours, 24 hours, we spend time in prayers, it does something to our minds. It prepares your mind for persecution, for contrary circumstances, in a way that almost nothing else can. Number three, sorrow, if left to have his way, can tarnish your sense of worth. When you give yourself to sorrow, it will tarnish your sense of worth. Say, things are happening in my life. I don't know why these things are happening. I'm being attacked left, right, and center. It will tarnish your sense of... You will almost forget the glory of being a child of God. So pray. Give yourself to prayer. I'm not teaching you these things. I'm not saying these things to excite you. The end goal of me telling you these things is that you pray. That you spend time in prayers and see for yourself the benefits. Sorrow, if left to have his way, can torment us with fear and despair. The disciples of Jesus were tormented with fear, tormented with despair. But watch those same disciples. the moment they were filled with the Spirit and they were still persecuted, threatened, killed, it had no hold on them. You will not fulfill your ministry if you don't have capacity to endure suffering and persecution. And sometimes that threshold is given to you in the place of prayer. You train your mind to be prepared for the worst in the place of prayer. Jesus trained his mind, trained his emotions to be prepared for the worst in fulfilling God's will as he gave himself to prayer. Sorrow, if left to have his way, can trick us into paralysis. Paralysis. You just become paralyzed. You want to sleep. Paralysis when you see that you have lost your job because of your faith. You become tired and you want to go and sleep. I can't tell you how many times I've suffered such things. You know, some disappointments come and I always just want to go and sleep. I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. But that is the best time to pray. That's the best time to be given to prayer. Don't let sorrow trick you into paralysis. The inability to take proactive action consistent with who you are and what you have. So, the ability to take proactive action that is consistent with who I am and what I have is influenced by the time I spend in prayers. Are you still following? Are you still here? The ability to take proactive action that is consistent with who I am and what I have, despite my circumstances, are influenced by the time I give to prayer. Some people actually, you know, it's not that they don't know what to do, but they lack the ability to carry it out. It doesn't come by default. It comes by prayer. You know, sometimes there are people who are listening to me right now. You know what to do concerning your ministry, but you just find that you lack ability to carry it out. To take proactive action. You need to give yourself to prayer. As you pray, strength is supplied to your hands to carry out the work of God despite the opposition, despite the persecution, despite contrary circumstances, despite the situation, despite the size of your pocket, despite the presence or the absence of food on your table. There are some people listening to me right now. Hunger is making you abandon your ministry. You're listening to me right now. This is a call to return to your knees. Return to the place of prayer. Stop sleeping the sleep of sorrow. There are men of God who, you know, genuine men of God, called of God. Their message have changed today because sorrow, hardness, hardship pushed them to the wall and they changed their message. They started off with preaching the gospel. Now they are preaching the power of handkerchiefs. They started off by preaching the gospel. Now they are preaching the mystery of $1,000 seed. You started off very well. But hardship hits you to the point where you change your message. Prayer would stop that nonsense. Prayer will stop that nonsense. Prayer will stop that nonsense. Man of God, listen to me. Give yourself to prayer. When was the last time you spent all night, you continued all night praying? When was the last time? When was the last time you spent 12 hours in prayers? When was the last time? Now, if you don't have, even if you cannot even remember, let it be your assignment upon listening to this conversation. Shut yourself in and give yourself to prayer. I discovered that most of the questions believers ask are answered when we spend time praying. Say, I want to know the will of God for my life and my ministry. Have you prayed? Have you prayed? Have you shut yourself in and prayed? Say, how do I hear the voice of God? Just go and pray first. Just go and pray first. How do I know about things that, the people ask sometimes, how do you know about things that nobody told you? Just go and pray first. When you spend time praying, you will get the answer. You will know why. How did Paul know what to do, how to do it at every point in time? Go and pray first. It's not enough to know about prayers. You must be prayer. Go and pray first. Get friends. Grab one person. Grab two people. Grab three people. Shut yourself in. Spend 12 hours there praying. You will come out with undeniable clarity. I'm telling you the truth. You are a believer. You are afraid of demons at your age. At your age. You are afraid of mad people. You are afraid of demons. You are afraid of sickness. You are afraid of witches. Can't you? You are prayerless. It's because you are prayerless. You're not praying. You're not praying. Powerlessness in ministry is not because power is absent in the new man. No. It is because there is a prayer failure. Powerlessness in ministry is not because prayer is absent in the new man. It is because that new man is not disciplined. He's not given to prayers. Jesus, God, become man. Spend time praying. I'm not doing this session, like I said, to impress anybody. I'm doing it to the end that you pray. So what will be the testimony from this session? After listening to the prayer life of Jesus, my life was altered because A to Z of my life now is prayer. That is the testimony I want to hear. That is the testimony I want to hear. You want to be consistent? You want to be found saying the same thing in 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Challenge yourself. Have a minimum time where you pray, but have no maximum time. Challenge yourself. Jesus did that. He continued in prayers. There were reasons to stop. Physical tiredness was a reason to stop. But he continued, your body will not die. The first time I did 5 hours, I thought I was going to die. And then later it became the new normal. And then I said, okay, let's do 12 hours. And I got up to 9 hours. I felt like I was going to die. I said, no, this time I will die. I will die. I didn't die. My body deceived me. I didn't die. I continued. Okay. Now, I said, okay, if I can get to 12 hours, that would be so amazing. That would be so great. I don't think I can do more than 12. I'll just try and do 12. I did 12. I discovered my body recovered from it. I didn't die. I didn't die. Was I weak? Yes. Did I continue? Yes. It got to a point. 12 hours became normal. So it's not a struggle anymore to do 12. I said, okay, let me do. Okay, let's do 15. Now imagine the power. Do you know the power you make available when you just spend time focused on God? He stops nonsense. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to be posh here. I'm telling you the truth. You reap the benefits lodged in your spirit when you give yourself to prayers. I can tell you one thing for certain that has changed my life, my ministry for the better is prayer. I'm not praying for 2 minutes. Spending time praying. As I speak with you, I'm about to break my own prayer record. My own personal one. You have yours. Do yours. Lock yourself in and pray. Pray to the point where you feel like you may die. And you would see that you will not die. But you would see the benefits for your emotions. You would see the benefits in your will. You would see the benefits in your desires. You would see the benefits in your thought life. The view is different. Jesus, God as man, spent at least 12 hours praying for what? Not praying against the enemy. Not praying for Bobo and Pringles. Not praying for shoes. Not praying for camels and chariots. Not praying against Pilate. But he spent 12 hours praying for others, for his ministry, for the Father's will to be impressed upon his mind, upon his will, upon his emotions, upon his desires, upon his thoughts. That shows us that that is the pattern of the new man. It's the pattern of the new man. It's the pattern of the new man. Stop being depressed because you're not seeing visions. Go and pray first. Go and pray first. Go and pray. Go and pray. Go and pray. Next week, Friday to Saturday, 5 a.m. on Friday to 7 p.m. on Saturday. 5 a.m. on Friday to 7 p.m. on Saturday, we will be praying. Now, if you've never prayed that much before, you want to join us? Shoot me a message. Let me know. We'll find a way to involve you. Okay? But you must pray. Now, this is hard work. It looks like labor, but trust me, it will change your life forever. It will change your life forever. Let us pray. Comando cardos cabalida langa sombra digo radiga subara digishka rando brendo cora atogos cabalido rigadonzo pratia landongo barande lando cos cabarandia. Manga sonde, brendo la digasco pratigo, randego coscatila tombre edocora, tamalido, paradigo scoprende lidocora. Mando cora disco, barita cascando lidoca digasquia, randa barandogo scamaradiga, anna nongo cosco lida candi elogota. Mando co zombre disca, brando londo cobra tala. Ira katosko balande escubra andarande kalandisko. Rikato sola bar diga kananondo uska balanigo. Barata shote pretugo skemaligo skabarate. Rigada jamalito kom sapratigo baradega. Rando kando sura tego skapratiga. Rando ko shamala dia tombre isgombre katila. Enanango somalido koshka. Give yourself much to prayer. 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 For it will aid the forming of Christ in and through you. That is, Christ expressed in your thoughts. Christ expressed in your words. Christ expressed in your actions. Christ expressed in your character. These things are strengthened in that place of prayer. These things are strengthened in that place of prayer. As you spend time in prayer, you learn to stay true to who you are. You learn to stay true to your nature. You learn to stay true to the power of the Spirit. You learn to stay true to the riches of the Spirit. You learn to walk in ways that are consistent with God, with Christ in you. Give yourself to prayer. Give yourself consistently to prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Friday next week, 5 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. on Saturday, we're praying non-stop. Now, we're meeting physically here in Winnipeg. We're meeting physically here in Winnipeg. But if you've never prayed that much and you want to join a people who are radically given to prayers, leave a comment, send a message. We'll look for a way to involve you. God has blessed you. I would see you some other time, and we'll continue still on this topic, the prayer life of Jesus.